The missing persons case, I'll just touch briefly on. Why did I file a missing persons case through Ron DeWolf? The reason I filed it is because Ron's lawyer, Alan Goldfarb from Miami, in Tonya Burden's case, filed an affidavit. And in his affidavit, he said four things. He said, I've never met L. Ron Hubbard, even though I'm representing a million-dollar case. I have no means to communicate. I know of no one in the Church of Scientology of California who has communicated with L. Ron Hubbard since February 1980. He filed that affidavit in May 1982. So the third thing was, I know of no person who has communicated with L. Ron Hubbard in the Church of Scientology of California since February 1980. Ron's own lawyer under oath, under the pains and penalties of perjury, and I've got the affidavit here. The fourth thing he said, I know of no person who has communicated with L. Ron Hubbard since February 1980. Ron's own lawyer making those four statements. Well, at the time he was in communication with Sherman Linsky, Stephen Linsky, who were in regular communication with David Miscavige, Lyman Spurlock, Norman Starkey, who have been telling you people through the hidden data line that they're in regular communication with Ron and that David Miscavige's origin of authority flows from Ron's daily battle plan to him. While his lawyer, who's defending him, is saying those things under oath in May 1982. Well, curiously enough, at the same time in May 1982, Office Services, Inc., Religious Technology Center at Al, is taking over all of the church. Curiously enough, in May 1982, or shortly thereafter, June 7th, to be exact, an individual walks into a bank in New York City with a $2 million check drawn on L. Ron Hubbard's account, supposedly forged, made payable to an Aquila Abdul Amia. Now, the church, this information I've just given you, I acquired before the missing persons case. The church will come forward and claim that I have just told you something that is under seal. Well, the information came before the case, before the information was ever sealed. So if anyone tells you Flynn gave you sealed information, one of the reasons I brought the case, because I put it in the complaint when the legal proceeding first started, was that someone had tried to pass a $2 million check on L. Ron Hubbard's account. At the same time, Religious Technology Center has ended up with complete control of the church, Office Services, running all of Hubbard's assets. His lawyer filing an affidavit saying no one can communicate with him. It's that degree of untruth that's permeated Mr. Hubbard's life in this litigation and created the schizophrenia in the organization that I'm litigating against. I brought the missing persons case, regardless of what you read in the media, or from Tom, Dick, or Harry, because his own lawyer said he was missing. His own lawyer said that he couldn't communicate with him, didn't know his whereabouts, knew of no one who could communicate with him, couldn't defend the case. And I've got the affidavit here for anyone who wants to see it. Mr. Hubbard was also defaulted for failure to appear and defend the Paulette Cooper case, where they broke into Paulette Cooper's apartment, or broke into Paulette Cooper's psychiatrist's office, and stole her psychiatric records, and then used it as part of Operation Freakout against her. Now, Again, to show you the level at which the guardian's office operates, Paulette Cooper's parents were killed in Auschwitz. When she came, in this country, she was adopted by Jewish parents. And while she was at Brandeis in journalism, she went to a psychiatrist, Dr. Stanley Katz. The reason she went to a psychiatrist is because she had a lot of conflict between her feelings toward her parents killed in the Holocaust and her real parents. And as she was growing as a young woman, she began to experience a lot of things that she wanted to talk to someone about. So she went to this Dr. Katz. Well, she told Dr. Katz what I just told you, and that she loved her adopted parents, but that she had this conflict. Well, Robert Dardenneau, one of my clients now, and two other people, broke into Katz's office pursuant to Project OWL as part of Operation Freak Out, and stole Katz's records and then mailed the notes to her parents. The button survey and the operations definition section of the AG Minihan. Well, that type of thing is the type of thing that the cases are about. And it's the type of thing that caused me to fight as strongly as I have, notwithstanding everything they've done to me. The missing persons case was designed for precisely the purposes for which it was legally intended, to determine whether he was missing. Where is he? And his son brought it forward because, regardless of what you may have heard about Nib, regardless of the problems he may have had in the past, maybe Nibs has done some confronting. Maybe Nibs has tried to come to grips with his father's history, and things that he's been involved in, and now wants to do what he can to have the truth come out. And maybe that's why he was willing to, according to the PR line of the church, attack his father. Maybe he wanted to know whether his father was really missing. Well, his father, presumably, and my handwriting expert says, maybe yes, maybe no, but I hired an honest handwriting expert. I didn't hire a handwriting expert to say this is a fake signature and we'll get a win. I gave him the declaration that Ron filed in that case, and I said, just tell me whether it's legitimate or not. For better or worse, I want to know. He had come back with other documents, the assignment of the trademark, the Religious Technology Center. He had come back with those and said those were fakes. Those were not signed by Ron Hubbard. He came back on this one, he said, I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's too close. So that's what we told the court. We told them we didn't know. But what we did know is that whenever L. Ron Hubbard signed on a line, where a line was provided for his signature, he signed right on the line. And this signature is off in no relationship to the line, which suggested to us, as we argued, that maybe he signed a blank piece of paper and the name was later typed in. We don't know. The mystery has now been created, just as the mystery of the Armstrong documents has been created by the church and Mr. Hubbard. The mystery continues. We tried to find out. We don't currently know. We don't know whether he's totally incapacitated, whether he's dead, whether he's alive. I've got my hunches and my feelings, but we really don't know. Someone filed a declaration. From everything I've read that Ron has written, and his particular care about things he says about people, I don't believe that he wrote that declaration. That's my own personal belief. I don't personally believe he wrote it. I believe he signed it. Someone told him to sign it. And given his current health history, which we've got pretty much documented, he suffers from duodenal ulcers, chronic viral pneumonia. He had three pulmonary embolisms, one of which almost killed him, bursitis, arthritis, a whole host of ailments. Now, I don't tell you that because I'm trying to, again, vilify Ron Hubbard and paint him something different than what you thought he was. But the fact of the matter, he's not what has been represented about his health history. The fact of the matter is that those ailments in an elderly, ill person could cause that person to be very easily manipulated, very easily told untruths, half-truths. And Tonya Burden worked with David Miscavige for years. And a lot of my clients who worked with David saw the way he reacted with Ron Hubbard, as some of you may know. And they know the level of manipulation, the level of half-truths, and the level of lies that go on at the top. So, it's currently a mystery. As far as we're concerned legally, in a way, it served our purposes. We didn't get a trustee appointed to represent Hubbard's interests, but we got a declaration from him saying that Office Services, Inc. is representing his interests, even though at the same time that they take control, someone tries to pass a $2 million check. And the next thing you know, they'll say that my client, or Flynn, forged L. Ron Hubbard's $2 million check. The level of misinformation that the organization is potentially able to distribute is awesome. And I suggest to you that you should look at everything they say with a very fine tooth comb and try to find out for yourself. The other thing that caused us to file the suit was that there was a whole series of financial transactions that took place that are highly suspect in our minds as to who was calling the shots. And there was a purge of a lot of high-level people who we thought were very close to Hubbard, who we thought that Hubbard would never forsake, if you want. And for some reason, a lot of those people got purged. That made us wonder also what happened to Ron Hubbard. The current management of the church, which I'll just touch briefly on, as you know, is Starkey and Miscavige and Gamboa, Reynolds and Spurlock, etc. I ask you, by what authority are they the leaders of the church? Why isn't there a democratic or some type of a voting arrangement where the people who contribute the money, the work? I mean, Jerry Armstrong worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week for 12 years. Why shouldn't he have a voice? Why shouldn't all the people who worked for all these years and paid all the money, the people with the good intentions, the people who understand the ultimate reality of self-confrontation and auditing, the people who use that in their daily lives and intend to do good things with the tech, why shouldn't they be the people in control of the bank accounts making the decisions rather than a 22-year-old who supports himself on the hidden data line, which is a total mystery to everyone, when supposedly everyone is supposed to be confronting and the truth is supposed to be flowing out? It shouldn't be tolerated. It creates oppression. It creates Adolf Hitler's. It creates SS mentality. That type of mystery oppresses you people. And it's got to be swept away. Let the chips come out, and we'll see who's telling the truth. Just briefly on some of the current governmental cases, there's an investigation going on in Toronto. There's a lot of reasons there's an investigation going on in Toronto. One of the reasons is one of the tape recordings that Jerry Armstrong had possession of that some of you people should listen to, where Charles Parcell, some of you may know who he is, former highest legal officer of the church, Laurel Sullivan, some of you may know who she is, a lot of former high-ranking church members had a meeting And they were trying to figure out what to do with the IRS, because the IRS is after him. Well, why should the IRS be after this innocent church? Well, on the tape recording, the following appears. So, we've been holding out to the public and to the government and to everyone else for years that Ron resigned in 1966, and that we're all separate corporate entities, and Hubbard's got no control of the church and nothing to do with it. When the fact of the matter is, this is on the tape, this is Charles Parcell speaking on the tape recording in a high-level meeting of all the top leaders. Everyone knows that the reality and the truth is he's controlled everything. LRH has controlled everything. And there's no corporate integrity, quote-unquote, that's the quote, no corporate integrity. All the boards of directors and officers resign in advance, and he holds the resignation. And the $2.1 million payment by RRF, Religious Research Foundation, to Hubbard, is a classic case of fraud, quote-unquote. That's on the tape recording. Well, if you were a government and you saw that, what would you do? You know, some Scientologist from France comes to Flag and pays $50,000 for the OT levels or whatever and makes his check out to RRF and it ends in Ron's pocket, when in fact Ron supposedly resigned in 66 and is not getting any money from the church, which is just another misrepresentation. What do you expect the government to do? I mean, you pay your taxes to look into things like that. So Toronto, for a lot of different reasons, including assassination plots, burglaries, for a lot of different reasons, is investigating the church. Clearwater is doing the same thing for a host of different reasons, because they tried to destroy the mayor of Clearwater, because an organization came into his town under United Churches of Florida, and he said, you know, what's United Churches of Florida? And they had this elaborate cover through Operation Goldmine and Operation Normandy. And when he began to ask questions, they had Operation Keeler 1, Operation Keeler 2, Operation Speedy Gonzales, four or five other operations to destroy Mayor Cazares. You know, what do you expect the government to do? The criminal cases of the same type. The fact of the matter is the GO did it. They've been doing it for years. They did it per policy, right from LRH down. In fact, Mary Sue Hubbard signed a document, a 286-page document entitled Stipulation of Evidence, stipulating that LRH was, quote, the overall supervisor, unquote, of the Guardian's office while all of this was going on. The 11 people that went to prison were all the top people. Jane Kimber, Henning Held, they ran the church. I mean, for them to come forward and say a few criminals did it in the PR approach that they take in order to preserve the religion of Scientology, which is the reason they say they're doing it, spreading that lie. If Scientology is in its nature to tell the truth, how do you spread lies and disseminate Scientology? Just briefly on the reason I came. The reason I came is to tell you everything I told you, so you can decide for yourself, so you can get your mind working, go out and find out, question. Create your own organization, democratic. I read the Principles of the Phoenix. When they were sent to me and I read it, I said, I've got to meet the person who wrote this. This is right. What's been being done is wrong. I am not here to solicit clients. They'll sue me. One of the ways I'll get sued, I've been sued for conspiracy to violate their civil religious rights, abuse of process. They've never sued me for defamation. I've been sued for basically conspiracy to all these conspiracy, oh, the programming. They filed a $46 million, Stephen Miller, excuse me, may even be here. Stephen Miller filed a $46 million suit against me for involuntarily deprogramming him.
Well, a reporter called me on the phone, said, you've just been sued for $46 million by Stephen Miller. And I said, who's Stephen Miller? I've never even heard of him. And the guardian's office put that suit along with the other nine suits together, and I got sued for that. So I get sued for these types of things. So one of the suits now will be to sue me for soliciting clients because I'm here, your Scientologist or on the fence Scientologist or whatever. So they'll claim that I got all the clients I can handle. I don't need any more clients. I need to make some money. I need to go back to the practice of law and try medical malpractice cases and support my family. Scientology has been an unending, continuous loss. And that probably is the bottom line. They have got all the money. They have got all of the information. I am out a lot of money, and I'm trying to speak out against them. I encourage you people, in fact, I exhort you people, to confront what this organization has done. In that confrontation, the gains that you got in your initial sessions of licensed therapy, in your initial auditing sessions, the gains that you get in doing that confrontation, and the wins you get by believing you can go up the bridge on your own, will be bigger than anything that organization could ever give you and take your $30,000 to $40,000. Thank you.